is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Yeah, it's Friday. It is weekend time and almost ready for a big slate of Sunday games here. Fantasy Week 7, and this is Fantasy Football Today. It is an Adam and Dave show. I can't remember the last time we had an Adam and Dave show. Very excited.
It was last Saturday on the radio, you idiot.
Ah, well, they're in the mailbags. I get that. But, like, all right, no. Stupid comment. You're right. It was an idiot moron comment. Dumb. Hi,
I don't
Dave.
Mean to call you an idiot. I did that for comedic effect.
Totally acceptable. I will be the butt of the joke.
I actually think very highly of you.
I will be a Cardinal, basically, because they were the butt of the joke for a few hours last night. It was ugly.
Oh, yeah. Mike McCoy is the ultimate butt of the joke at
this point. You know, the coordinator gets blamed a lot, but can anybody have a good offense with that personnel?
Yes. You can have a good offense.
I don't know. It's a pretty bad team.
He's running David Johnson into the A-gaps. Like, you're down three scores.
Well, throwing it didn't go very well.
He's not gaining ground. You know, the Broncos are prepared to stop him. Go outside with him. Use him more as a receiver. It's like Mike McCoy wanted to be fired. It's like his pregame plan was, what can I do to get my ass fired today? Oh, I know. I'm going to completely misuse David Johnson. Maybe this was his plan, like, since July. Like, he just didn't want to work anymore, but he had to take the job because, you know, money's
right.
Money.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
He just, you know, was a slacker. He's a slacker.
I don't know. I think this is a hopeless team. They are really bad on offense. They don't have a great passing game. They got a rookie quarterback who's taken his lumps. Their offensive line was injured and was bad. And we'll get to that in a second. Stat of the day, courtesy of Sean. Thank you, Sean, for this. Drew Brees facing the Ravens this week. He has beaten 31 of 32 NFL teams. He has not beaten the Ravens.
Yes.
He is trying to become the third quarterback in NFL history to beat every team. Can you name the other two?
To beat every other team. This sounds like something Peyton Manning would do.
Yes.
And I would imagine the obvious answer would be Tom Brady for the other.
I would have thought that too, but it's Brett Favre.
Oh, I've heard of him.
I wonder who Tom Brady has.
I thought it was going to be somebody a little more obscure like Vinny Testaverde. Or something like that. But, you know, Vinny, I don't know how long Vinny played. I don't know how many times he would have played the Texans to have actually beaten all 32 teams.
You know what? I'm not sure that Tom Brady didn't beat every team. I'm going to have to double check on this. All right. Email of the day is from Matt. Matt says, why are we still starting David Johnson? The team obviously doesn't know what it's doing. I feel cursed with David Johnson. Moving forward, should you just start almost everyone else over him? Treat him like Kenyon Drake.
I hate treating first rounders like Kenyon Drake. You don't want to do that. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a perfect example of why you do start David Johnson. He had 18 carries. He had two touchdowns. It was against the 49ers. We've had a couple of games this year where he has been involved in the passing game, although not as much recently. And I am hopeful for what this offense looks like with Byron Leftwich calling plays. That's right. That Byron Leftwich. As opposed to any other Byron Leftwich that could be out there. That name doesn't come around very often.
No.
But if Mike McCoy, I'm sorry, when Mike McCoy gets fired, Byron Leftwich will take over the play calling duties. And I would imagine that they might be a little more aggressive throwing the football.
But what are they going to do? Like, that's going to
be
better.
They'll
for
be
him.
Smarter about how they use David Johnson.
Maybe they'll throw the ball to him more. Yeah, that would be nice.
That's one thing. And use him more on outside runs. Use him on misdirection runs. Be a little bit more creative with him. Don't just plow him into the middle of the offensive line and say, all right, David, go get us 4 yards, and then he gets you none.
I would not mind buying low on Johnson. I wouldn't, because I don't know that the yards are going to be there. I mean, the line is so bad, but I do think the touchdowns will be there more often than not. As long as you don't treat him like a top five running back, maybe he's not even top 10 anymore. But he's an RB2, right?
You can't deny that he's still a good talent. He's just been wasted.
Yeah,
not that wasted. I mean, his game has been wasted. They're not using him as much as they should, or in the right way. Maybe that changes. If you trade for him, that's what you're banking on. If you trade him away, it's because you think that he just absolutely sucks and will never be good again.
Okay. So that's David Johnson. He's the big story here. And listen, I got a little bit of a prediction. I think that the Broncos run defense is going to be solid going forward. I don't understand why it's been so bad. Like I said, they were the best in the NFL in yards per carry last year. They entered this game as the worst, and they have pretty similar personnel up front. So I think they can get better, and it was a disappointing night for Johnson without question. Meanwhile, would you rather have Philip Lindsay or David Johnson rest of season?
It's still Johnson, but that gap has narrowed quite a bit. And for what it's worth, I think that Broncos run defense will play better when they play teams that don't have great receivers, because they'll feel more comfortable leaving their corners out on an island and stacking the box a little bit more instead of keeping their safeties back, keeping maybe one of their linebackers back.
What's your read on this situation? And I have an update on the Tom Brady beating every team thing. What's your read on this situation? Because, like, Lindsay is better than Freeman. Freeman gets the one-yard touchdown run after the pass interference in the end zone. Lindsay had a longer touchdown run. It was like 22 yards or something. But he's just really good.
He's very good. You're right. And it's his speed that makes a big difference. And Freeman just, there were a bunch of runs last night where he just couldn't go anywhere. He had amazing holes. He got tripped up on one. He should have had a big long gain. And for whatever reason, he couldn't get his feet planted in the ground and he slipped. I think what you'll see is Lindsay will be used way more in matches where the Broncos are trailing, and you didn't see it in week 7, but he's starting to catch the ball a lot more. And I like that a lot. That involvement is going to be really good to see.
In games
like this where they've got an easy matchup and it looks like both of them should be able to run, I think you can use them both. I think Lindsay more of a number two running back and Freeman a safer flex.
Yeah, you can.
And in matchups where it's not that good of a matchup, then Freeman is a more unsafe flex. But he does feel very touchdown dependent, and he's a non-factor in the passing game.
Yeah, you can use him next week at Kansas City. That's a terrible run defense. Lindsay, it's non-PPR, Lindsay or James White rest of season?
That's a great question. I'm going to say White, but again, that one's, I'd probably rank David Johnson, James White, Philip Lindsay, and those three very close together, and then Royce Freeman behind them, and Sony Michel ahead of all of them.
Yeah. Sony Michel or White in PPR, would you rather have?
Rest of season?
Yeah.
Sony.
Okay. If somebody dropped Demaryius Thomas, they got the Chiefs next week on the road, how eager would you be to pick him up?
He will probably settle in as a number two wide receiver next week, A, because of the matchup, B, because 6 teams are on a bye.
Woo! Yeah. Vacation for me. Right? It's just 6 teams on a bye.
I didn't know you played in the NFL and you went
just
on
makes,
bye.
It makes the job a little easier, doesn't
Which
it?
Which team do you play on? Let's see. Who are the teams that are on bye?
I'm
sorry. There are only... Oh, I misspoke. Adam, there are only 4 teams on bye.
All right. Well, then I'm back to work.
Are you on the Titans? I think you're on the Titans.
I would be on the
They're
Titans.
On bye in week 8.
I could play
probably play wide receiver for the Titans.
Oh, or wide receiver.
Actually,
sure.
Maybe quarterback.
Tight end. I could play tight end for the Titans. Let's see, Christian Kirk or Larry Fitzgerald rest of season? Fitzgerald with his first touchdown of the year.
I'm not going to buy into Fitzgerald just because he caught a touchdown.
So Kirk?
It's Kirk, but I don't love either one.
Yeah. They have San Francisco next week. Could be a good day for their passing game. Maybe it'll be a much better matchup than Denver for sure. Broncos DST was great. And that pretty much covers it. Jeff Heuerman had a touchdown called back. And that was important because Case Keenum would have had a respectable game, would have had, I think, 16? 17. I don't know how many yards that was. He had 161 yards, but he would have had 16 or 17 fantasy points. He ends up with 10. Not very good.
No.
He only threw 20 passes.
How about I went up against the Broncos DST in a league that I'm desperate for a win in?
I didn't
and they
even
were
look.
With 42 points in this league.
I didn't even look. I'm sure I went against them. I think I have them in one league, but did I go against them here? What's with my internet? I did not! All right. Woo-hoo.
You're safe, but did you go up against Emmanuel Sanders?
Not in this league. I didn't check yet. I'm not gonna put myself in a good or bad mood. I'm just gonna
I don't puff my chest out too often with the calls that I make because I know I get a bunch of calls wrong, but I'm pretty proud of my Manny Sanders call from before the season.
You should be.
Yeah, he's been great.
He has been. He's got a great arm.
And he's going to be great next week, too.
Threw a touchdown pass, caught a touchdown, 102 yards. Emmanuel Sanders has been awesome. All right, so why has Tom Brady not beaten every team? Because he's never beaten the Patriots. Brady, Rodgers, and Roethlisberger have beaten 31 teams. But Breeze will try to join Peyton Manning and Brett Favre as the only quarterbacks to beat 32 teams. And there you go. The big news, Dave. Everybody starts picking up Cameron Meredith in my league. Ted Ginn Jr.'s on IR. Cam Meredith is only 14% owned. In fact, Tre'Quan Smith is 21% owned. Who would you rather have of these Saints wide receivers?
I'd rather have Meredith. I think he's just a little bit safer. Certainly should get that target volume week to week, whereas Tre'Quan is going to be, I think he'll be boom or bust.
Yeah, I don't know why Smith is more owned. Maybe he was going into the week, but 14% owned for Cameron Meredith, who's getting more of a role in the offense. Now, if they go back to last year, what the Saints did last year, and neither of these guys is going to be good because it's going to be Michael Thomas and the two running backs getting the targets. Last year, Ted Ginn had he was the number 37 wide receiver in non-PPR, number 38 in PPR. Not really worth rostering. He had 70 targets.
But I'll also add this. Ginn lined up all over the place, but he lined up in the slot the most. So that's where Meredith is going to play. So that's the biggest opportunity open right now in that offense, and I think Meredith is going to do well in it.
So the two players that I put in claims to drop, I tried to drop for Meredith were Chester Rogers. I think that's an easy call with Hilton back. And Kiki Kuti. Because he's got Jacksonville this week, and that was a particular situation where we have to start one, and I think I'd rather start Meredith even against the Ravens over QT.
What about I'd go QT. You're getting too cute.
QT had 33 yards last week, something like that.
I know, but I figure Houston's going to be throwing a lot in this game, and Deshaun, we talked about this. He's going to get the ball out quick, and that's going to help QT.
Okay, so rest of season, would you stick with
QT? How about
this?
What if it's a rest of season deal?
Yeah. Who would you go with?
You might be able to talk me into Meredith there because I'm starting to get that weird queasy feeling that Deshaun's not going to make it 16 games. And Brandon Whedon to Kiki QT doesn't exactly evoke a lot of fantasy production.
I would also drop Tyler Lockett for Cameron Meredith. How about you?
No, I think you're overvaluing Cameron Meredith just a little bit.
I think it's just like I don't think Lockett has that much upside if Baldwin's going to be good.
No, but Lockett's good. He's been coming through on the deep ball. Never good in fantasy
when Baldwin's right.
Well, he was last time they played.
No, he was not. He was two times ago, I think, right?
Two games ago? Is that when it was?
He caught the touchdown.
That's when it was.
Yeah. All right, so I guess I'm overvaluing Cameron Meredith.
I think he's 10 points a week in PPR.
Some more news items. Both Saints guards miss practice. Not great news for Ingram.
That is bad timing against a defense that had 11 sacks last week.
Dalvin Cook did not practice, Dave. So now what?
Well, we're going to find out Friday just what the heck is going on there. He practiced in full on Wednesday, and then he ended up not doing anything on Thursday. Was it a rest day or a maintenance day? Mike Zimmer really didn't make that clear. He was asked, will he be limited? And Zimmer said no, so everybody thought, oh, we practice him full then? What happened? And then ends up not practicing. Clearly, if he doesn't practice on Friday, then you know it's going to be Latavius Murray again in a sweet spot against the Jets.
And how would you feel about Latavius Murray?
You'd have to look at him as at least a top 15 fantasy running back, if not a top 12 guy.
You'd start him over Mark Ingram.
I don't know if I'd do that, because I do think Mark Ingram's going to get volume against Baltimore. But he's going to be in that range.
Okay. More news. Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins also did not practice. So two very important players, but
yeah,
we expect Hopkins to play.
Yeah, we still expect him to play. He should practice on Friday. Difficult matchup for him, but he is still very startable.
Chris Thompson was limited in practice. Do you think he plays against Dallas?
They need him. They're running out of wide receivers. So they need people to go out there and catch the football from Alex Smith. And I watched Washington's film from last week. And Smith has been off target a bunch this year. He has not, like, this is part of the reason why Jordan Reed has been bad. So I think he can throw to Chris Thompson. I think they're going to need to use Chris Thompson if he plays. So he'd be back on the PPR radar as a low end RB2.
And Jamison Crowder won't play. Paul Richardson has a knee injury, so he might not play. That's what Dave was referring to. Kyle Shanahan said that using Raheem Mostert over Alfred Morris was not necessarily a permanent move. Okay. Well,
that does, is your BS meter going off on that one?
Not really. Should it be?
I think so. I don't know if it's permanent. I think he's just basically, what he's not saying is Mostert is still better than Morris, and we're going to use him more often because he's more, he's got more juice to his game.
I hope so. He's got a great matchup next week against Arizona. He's on Beat the Waiver Wire. TJ Yeldon returned to practice. T.Y. Hilton was limited in practice, but we expect him to play, right?
That's a fantastic Beat the Waiver Wire.
Mostert?
Absolutely.
15%.
Like, pause the podcast right now and go put in your waiver claim for Mostert.
Allen Robinson missed practice with a groin injury. Allen Robinson's availability is legitimately in question.
It is. We got to see what happens on Friday. If he doesn't practice, then the Bears might not have him.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure they're going to miss him.
Oh, I don't know. Taylor Gabriel, though, needs to be added.
Yes. We can talk about him.
Taylor Gabriel is 54% owned. And Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley, uncertain for this week's game. It's Monday night against the Giants.
Right. They did not practice on Thursday after there was optimism that they would. Both of them were listed as DNPs.
All right, we're going to get to the starts and sits in a bit. We obviously have to do Beat the Waiver Wire. I have a few more notes to get to. I'm going to ask Dave who he's excited about this week, who he's nervous about this week. First, I'm going to tell Dave about SeatGeek. I don't really have to tell Dave about SeatGeek. I know Dave's a smart guy. I know for a fact that he actually has used SeatGeek as his ticketing app. You want to get to a game, you want to get to a concert, comedy, theater, and you want guaranteed seats. And you want to be able to shop with confidence. All right. A lot of times you shop online for tickets. You're not sure what you're going to get. You can shop with confidence on SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app and use the promo code FFT. You will get $20 off your first purchase. It's really an awesome app. I did a little demo on the air during the baseball podcast yesterday, just looking for tickets. Elton John was in town. You sign on, it'll know your location. It'll suggest events for you. You click on the event. You see a whole bunch of green dots. The bigger and greener the dot, the better the value. Buy the tickets. Use the code FFT. Get $20 off. I use SeatGeek all the time. It is really the only place I go to for tickets now. So once again, SeatGeek is the app, SeatGeek.com, the website, and the code FFT, $20 off your first purchase. Dave, who are you excited about this week? Could be someone we talked about yesterday or not, or someone that we're going to talk about today. Pumped up about?
I'm pumped about David Njoku. I like the workload that he's gotten since Baker Mayfield's come under center, and I love the matchup against Tampa Bay. They've allowed 70 or more yards and a touchdown to a tight end in three straight games. And how about this? An 82% catch rate to the position.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I just think Njoku's one of – there are really only two tight ends I like in daily fantasy this week. Njoku's one of them, and in that same game, O.J. Howard is the other.
Right. I haven't – set my FanDuel lineup yet, but that was actually the guy I was going to go with, Njoku. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's smart, Adam. I think the expensive guys are just a little too rich for everyone's blood. I don't think they'll return fair value. I think Njoku has a great chance to return value.
Now, the Bears have been terrible against tight ends. They've allowed four touchdowns and two 100-yard games to tight ends, I believe. So if Gronkowski can't get going this week, then we got a little bit of a problem.
Sure, but he's 6,000, I believe, on DraftKings, and I think he's 7,600 on FanDuel.
Wow.
So for him to return value, he's got to get at least 18 points on DK and 21 on FanDuel. And I don't know, he could be good, but I don't know if he's going to be 120 yards and a touchdown good.
I'm going to rewind. I'm going to correct my stat. The Bears have been bad against tight ends. I think I got them and another team mixed up, but they have allowed a touchdown to a tight end in four straight games.
Sure.
The 100-yard thing I was wrong about, but there's another team that has done that. They face Ertz and San Francisco. San Francisco, I think, yes, they've allowed four touchdowns to tight ends. The four touchdowns who have caught tight ends have not had 30 yards, so it's been basically like no yards and a touchdown. Then
sure.
they also faced Kelsey and Graham, and both those guys had 100-yard games. So start Gerald Everett.
I don't know how the Bears. I looked into those tight ends to figure out which one was the better one to start.
Neither.
I'm kind of grasping at straws with that one because Higby plays more, but Everett runs more routes.
Yeah.
So your guess is as good as mine.
I'm somewhat excited about Frank Gore, only a non-PPR. Just the Lions 6 yards per carry to running backs.
I get it. Yeah, they've been bad against the run, and Gore has played solid. And he's been getting more work than Kenyon Drake. You kind of can't blame the Dolphins now for doing what they're doing. But I still see him as a pretty big risk in any fantasy format.
Yeah,
because he could very easily get you 12 carries for 60 yards, which is a great game for him. That's 5 yards per carry, but it's not. It's 6 fantasy points.
Right. Right.
No one likes that.
And I think the Redskins DST needs a little bit more love. They've been very solid this year, except for one game at New Orleans. Cowboys are terrible on the road. Dave and Jamie have the Redskins top 12. Heath has them 15th. They're only 15% owned. So that you're like a 14-team league or really deep and you hate your DST, take a look at the Redskins. Who are you nervous about this week?
I've been nervous about Keenan Allen for a couple of weeks now, and I'm going to keep the nervous Nellies nellying on Keenan Allen. You look at the numbers, and sure, wide receivers do great against Tennessee, but it's been outside guys. Allen's lining up all over the place this year, not necessarily strictly in the slot, but still a lot in the slot. And that's going to be a tough matchup for him. And I have the feeling, and you've seen it now in a bunch of the Chargers' last few games, Rivers is playing efficient football, but he's not throwing a ton. He's averaging something like 29 pass attempts per game in his last four. And Tennessee, their defense is starting to really feel the effects of their offense not being good. So this could very easily be a Melvin Gordon game again. That could hurt Austin Eckler could be a sleeper, and it could hurt Keenan Allen, who, despite good target volume, hasn't found the end zone, needed 40 yards rushing last week to get you double digits in fantasy points, and it was only the second time this season he gave you double digits.
I'm nervous about Greg Olsen. Tough matchup against the Eagles. Would you start O.J. Howard?
There's an interesting twist with Greg Olsen in this matchup against Philly.
All right.
The Eagles are going to have to play with someone new at safety, at free safety.
That's true.
And they've got a grizzled vet. It's Malcolm Jenkins at strong safety. So that'll be kind of fun to watch Jenkins and Olsen on probably third down plays. That's probably going to be the matchup that you see. I don't hate Olsen this week.
Yeah, well, he's a tight end. It's hard to hate him, and he's good. But the Eagles are tough against tight ends. I'm nervous about Carlos Hyde. If you follow like the way Tampa Bay has defended running backs, it would be a bold call. I wouldn't do it, but Duke Johnson might be set up more for success than Carlos Hyde in this game because Tampa Bay is terrible against pass-catching running backs, but they only allow 3.5 yards per carry. Hyde is never involved in the passing game. I'm a little nervous about that. I know people expect a lot of points in that game, but I'm a touch nervous about Hyde. Not more than a touch.
I think I have him ranked unnecessarily too high. He's currently in my top 15. That feels a little high. I'm a little concerned about the playing time for Duke. He has not played a lot this year compared to certainly last year. And the target volume hasn't necessarily been there for him. I can get into that.
Oh, no, yeah, for sure. I'm not saying to start Duke Johnson. I'm just saying that it would not surprise me if Duke Johnson.
Could they all be duds? Could all the Cleveland running backs be duds this week against Tampa Bay?
Yeah, because you can throw all over Tampa Bay. Their secondary is so bad. And the other guy I'm a little nervous about, I'm surprised you guys have Jameis Winston, all of you in your top five. I think he's a start, but I was a little surprised it was that high. Like this, the Browns have actually faced some very good quarterbacks, and they've done well against all of them.
But I feel like their secondary has taken on too many hits. Denzel Ward, for as good as he's played, is still allowed a bunch of touchdowns. And Jameis looked great last week.
Against
I think
the
he keeps
Falcons.
It going. I know. And what did he do against the Falcons? He blew up. He was the number one or number two quarterback.
He was number one. I'm pretty sure.
Either him or Mahomes was number one.
Oh, it's probably Mahomes. The Browns have nine interceptions this year. That's a problem for Jameis.
Oh, Jameis is going to throw an interception. He does something stupid every game. It's just a matter of is he going to do something stupid once or twice or five, six, seven times. And I would imagine that this is going to be one of those games like last week where
it's
going to be
once or twice.
Did you
just quote Gloria Stefan? 5, 6, 7 times. Right. You did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. I guess, Dave.
I did.
You did it.
I hope I...
Oh, that's not him. She's
that's not Gloria Stefan.
She's
and I'm not Heath.
I know. Wait, what is her? I don't know. It's a very Miami song. Start-o-meter. Let's do the start-o-meter real quick for three guys.
You don't want to hear about Duke Johnson's catching
prowess? No, I don't. Start-o-meter for three guys.
I think it's important.
Dave, I know he's not catching that many balls. We're gonna get to the game.
I don't know if you
go.
Last three games, Baker Mayfield is the quarterback. He's caught 9 of 12 targets.
Yeah, he had 4 catches last week for like 70 yards, right?
Yes, that was his best receiving game of the season. 3 weeks ago, it was 45 yards on 4 catches.
Right.
And then in between, the game against Baltimore, he had 1 target and 1 catch. That's a 100% catch rate, Adam.
I know. All right. So I could say in 3 starts of Baker Mayfield, he's caught
80%.
Four balls in 2 of the 3 games. That's not bad.
He is starting to come on a little bit.
I don't care about Duke Johnson. Start-o-meter, Marquise Goodwin against the Rams.
Flex.
Adrian Peterson against Dallas.
Number 2 running back with a chance to finish as a top 12 guy.
Peterson or Hyde?
I think I'm going to end up ranking Peterson ahead of Hyde.
Chris Thompson against Dallas.
If he plays, he's only going to be flex-worthy in PPR.
Okay, well, how come? Because let's say they're down all their receivers. Like, doesn't this set up for Thompson to get a ton of catches?
I guess you're right, and I guess that would hurt Adrian Peterson if Chris Thompson ends up playing too.
It's a good run defense.
So I typically tend to like Chris Thompson in games where I really believe Washington's going to trail. I don't think this is necessarily one of those games.
Okay. Oh yeah.
So I do think Adrian Peterson's been good anytime he's had like 12 plus carries. He's going to get that.
Dave, let's beat the waiver wire. All right. So I got some guys that aren't necessarily matchup dependent next week, just I think could be good. I think I'm the only person in the world who still likes Randall Cobb. He's 61% owned. There's a good chance he plays next week, and it'll be at the Rams, and that actually is a good matchup. Yeah. Nobody else really likes him, though.
We don't know for sure that Cobb is going to get his job back after the way MVS has played.
Yeah, I saw Aaron Rodgers. Right, I think he was screaming at MVS. It was one of the two guys, one of the rookies.
Not surprising.
I wouldn't be surprised if Cobb's back and getting a ton of targets again. I just hope he can do something with it. But fine, I won't push too hard on Randall Cobb. But Peyton Barber, 76% owned. Frank Gore, 58% owned. If you need someone, these are running backs who are getting work. Rashad Penny against Detroit. I don't know. Is Rashad Penny like what we thought about Ronald Jones a couple weeks ago?
I don't think he's going to reemerge. I think a lot of his playing time was garbage time against Oakland. So the way that I think Chris Carson's the main back, and I think Mike Davis will supplement him, and Penny will get work behind him. Let me also mention one thing, because we're talking about the running backs specifically. If you've got one of the Falcons running backs, Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, or one of the Titans running backs. God bless you if you have one of the Titans running backs. I feel terrible for you. They're all on bye in week 8. So going and getting Frank Gore, Peyton Barber. We talked about Raheem Mostert. If you can get him, do it now. Beat the waiver wire to these guys so you can use them as potential starters when your main guys are on bye.
Yeah, and if Mostert gets 12 carries against Arizona, you know, it could go very well. And Jalen Richard in PPR is 17% owned.
And we don't know what the deal is with Marshawn Lynch. That's another guy you need to prepare for.
Yes.
If you've got Lynch in a starting spot in your team, you obviously don't have him this week. You better have a plan B in case he doesn't make it. And my guess is that we'll see Doug Martin see an uptick in carries, and Jalen Richard will stay in his role.
And Doug Martin's 11% owned. Quarterbacks you might want next week, Joe Flacco at Carolina, Baker Mayfield at Pittsburgh, Trubisky against the Jets. I mean, God, the Jets are so bad right now.
Do you know who Trubisky gets after the Jets?
No.
The Bills. But
that's
it's
tough.
In Buffalo.
That's really tough.
Yeah, that might not be so good. So we've got 2 weeks of Trubisky, and then he's at Buffalo, and then Detroit at home. So you'll probably go right back to him against the Lions.
Antonio Callaway, just staying with that team, or maybe there's another Cleveland wide receiver that you might like.
Damian Ratley.
Yeah,
I've only watched a few plays of his so far. But he's looked pretty good. He had a lot of volume last week from Baker Mayfield. I'm going to do a deep dig on him and see what I can.
I was on a Dynasty podcast earlier this week, and we were talking about him. He's from Texas A&M. Big dude.
Yes.
That's all I can tell you. Taylor Gabriel. Okay, this is serious, people. Pick up Taylor Gabriel. 54% owned. Great matchup this pretty good matchup this week, I'd say. And great matchup next week. He faces the Jets. So, you know, if you're a Keenan Allen owner, if you're a Julio Jones owner, get yourself some Taylor Gabriel in your life. Patriots DST at Buffalo. They're 50% owned right now. They are at Buffalo on Monday night. Redskins DST is at the Giants. You can use them this week and next week. San Francisco DST at Arizona, and the Colts DST is at Oakland. And that would be your Beat the Waiver Wire. Patriots, Redskins, 49ers, and Colts. And I'm most excited about probably Taylor Gabriel, maybe Baker Mayfield, and I think Jalen Richard in PPR for sure. Raheem Mostert, Frank Gore, these guys, they're available. And you have an opportunity to pick them up before everybody else does. You have an opportunity to play them in FanDuel, if you so please. We already told you what we're going to do on FanDuel. At the tight end spot, definitely looking at David Njoku. And this is why I love these starter sit episodes, because we can give you, like, okay, for example, you know in seasonal, you're starting Saquon Barkley. No question. But in daily, it might make sense to pay up for Saquon Barkley. The Falcons are just awful in every sense against running backs, pass-catching running backs, running backs. Barkley's going to have a huge game, and he's going to be super expensive, but you still want to pay up for a guy like that. So you don't own any Saquon Barkley? I don't own any Saquon Barkley in my seasonal leagues. That's why I love FanDuel. I can get a new lineup all the time. If my team stinks, I can start playing more football and start winning some money on FanDuel. And here's what you do. You go to FanDuel.com/FFT. You join our contest. It's a $5 contest. And if you make your first deposit on FanDuel.com/FFT, you get a $5 bonus. Once again, it's FanDuel.com/FFT. This is for new users only. Bonus not available for withdrawal. State and age restrictions apply. For full eligibility rules and terms and conditions, go to FanDuel.com. All right, Dave, definitely took us a little while to get into the games, but it's just me and you, so I think we can plow through these in a half hour. Ready?
No.
All right, let me know when you're ready.
All right.
The rhythm is gonna get you. The rhythm is gonna. Carolina is at Philadelphia. Oh, and by the way, I'm having a lot of trouble with the bonanza this week. Just letting you know, this will not be it. Stat of the game, yes.
Don't let the bonanza be something that you must do every week.
I have to, like, right?
No, you don't. No, see, this is the problem: is that you're feeling this unnecessary pressure.
I am
to name a bonanza.
You're right.
I don't think you have to do it. Let the bonanza come to you.
Okay. Carolina's at Philadelphia. Here's your stat of the game. Carolina has allowed double-digit fantasy points in non-PPR to a running back in 4 of 5 games. The only time they didn't, Adrian Peterson had 97 rushing yards. Even with Thomas Davis back last week, they still were not a good run defense.
5.6 yards per run.
Yeah, and, you know, they don't have star Lotulelei anymore, so that could be part of it. But what do you think about the Eagles running backs, maybe one of the more difficult start-sit decisions in this game?
Because which one is it going to be? Everybody's going to gravitate toward Clement because of what he produced last week. But if you go into the numbers, Smallwood played more snaps, had more carries, had more work in the red zone, had more work inside the 10, played more on third downs. A lot of things went in Smallwood's favor, and he still had 7 carries after his fumble. Remember the fumble that he luckily didn't lose? That would have made his fantasy point total even worse. He had 7 carries after then. Clement had 6. They mix and match. We've said it all along. They're not going to use just one guy. And it doesn't look like Darren Sproles is going to play. The whole world has Corey Clement ranked higher than Wendell Smallwood. I can't say with much certainty that it's going to play out that way again this week.
Do you have Clement?
I do. Okay. I but it's only because he didn't fumble last week. And I wonder if that's just going to kind of sit with the coaches a little bit. And they say, okay, let's use Corey Clement a little bit more than Smallwood.
Yeah, and also Clement was coming back from injury, so they could have been easing him back in.
That's true.
All right. So
maybe for those reasons, Clement is actually a better start. But my hunch is that even though the numbers I rattled off about Smallwood were what they were, it's not like Clement is a liability on third downs.
Right. Yeah, he had 3 catches and Smallwood had none. He had 1 for 0 yards last week. All right, so would you consider starting Clement, ready for this, over Christian McCaffrey in non-PPR?
What?
Don't laugh. McCaffrey has, I know you're not laughing, a very tough matchup. Philadelphia allows the 3rd fewest fantasy points to running backs, and McCaffrey in non-PPR, he's not nearly as good.
That's true, but I'm still going to start McCaffrey on the hopes that he has a bunch of big plays.
All right, would you start Corey Clement or LeSean McCoy?
I have McCoy over Clement this week. I have this weird feeling that Buffalo is going to come to play.
Corey Clement or Devin Funchess?
PPR Funchess, non-PPR Clement.
All right, let's stick with the Eagles. Carson Wentz is seventh in the quarterback rankings for all three analysts. So you can start Carson Wentz.
I think he's a great start this week.
Yeah, it's not a good pass defense. Alshon Jeffrey must start, right?
Yep, top 12 for me.
And what about Aguilar? Because this team does struggle more against slot receivers. Your thoughts on Aguilar this week?
I didn't look too deeply into it because I just feel like everybody's ready to not start Aguilar. Last week, he had a nice breakaway catch, and then he had the ball was tipped out of Wentz's hand, and he was just right place, right time, and he made it for a big gain. And that represents pretty much his best yardage total of the season.
So, oh, yeah.
I feel like it was fluky, and I don't feel good about starting Aguilar, even as a bye week replacement.
Yeah,
in PPR.
78% own. Beasley had 7 for 73 against the Panthers. Boyd had 6 for 132 and 1. Sterling Shepard, I'm not really sure Shepard's a slot receiver anymore, had 4 for 75. Calvin Ridley had 4 for 64 and a touchdown. So the matchup's there, but the production, just it's hard to depend on Aguilar. Start Zach Ertz. And Smallwood himself, I mean, is he an okay flex?
Sure.
Okay. So we go to the Panthers. Everybody's going to start Christian McCaffrey. Cam Newton or Carson Wentz?
I have Wentz higher than Cam. I think I think Jim Schwartz has enough experience with Cam Newton that he knows how to defend him.
Okay. So are you avoiding? No, you have him 11th.
I have him at top 12, but it's not, you know, usually Cam is kind of top 8-ish by default every week. And this week I've got him toward the low end of my starters.
All right. So it Funchess is a start. 70 yards.
7 for 70.
That's Devin Funchess. And Olsen is...
And Funchess is more of a flex, by the way. He's not a top 24 receiver in non-PPR.
And Olsen's an okay start. Heath loves Olsen. Heath has him 6th. Dave has him 11th. Jamie has him 14th. Yeah, he just hasn't been that great. But I think I asked this earlier. All right, would you start Uzama over Olsen? I didn't ask that.
You didn't ask that. I do have Olsen ahead of Uzama by a couple of spots.
But Howard,
Howard, Hooper. Evan Engram, Kyle Rudolph, Hooper, Njoku, Kittle.
Okay.
They're all ahead of Olsen.
Eagles DST really hasn't been that good this year. They're 18th in standard CBS leagues.
They'll get a couple of turnovers and a couple of sacks.
Carolina allows the 10th fewest fantasy points to DSTs, but the Eagles are top 8 for everybody this week. All right, Cleveland at Tampa Bay, stat of the game. Tampa Bay allows the second most fantasy points to wide receivers. 11 wide receivers, I mean, this stat's amazing. 11 wide receivers have had either 100 yards or a touchdown or both against the Buccaneers. 11 in 5 games. So Landry's
awesome.
Must start, right?
Who's that?
Landry.
I think he is. I hate what the numbers have been with Baker Mayfield. He did better with Tyrod Taylor.
I know. It is a little concerning. In fact, if you look at like Callaway and his catches per target and Landry's, makes you wonder a little bit about Baker Mayfield, not his future, but his present.
Well, and I mean, we can break it down like this. There were 3 games with Landry and Tyrod. He had 2 games with over 100 yards. 2 games with 14 or more targets. And then in 3 games with Baker, he has yet to get 10 fantasy points in a non-PPR. He's gotten you 13 or less in PPR. That's in spite of having double-digit targets every single game. 10 against Oakland, 10 against Baltimore, 10 against the Chargers. And the catch rate has just sunk. He hasn't even caught 50% of his passes.
All right, here's the thing. Like, I'm starting Landry. If he doesn't do well this week, I'm going to be concerned. But
I'm glad I traded him in one of my leagues.
I think he's a buy low. I just love the schedule coming up.
I traded him and Carlos Hyde for Tyreek Hill. I managed to get that deal done.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mayfield himself is not in the top 15. Tampa Bay allows the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've allowed 353 or 354 passing yards to three straight quarterbacks. They've allowed 30 or more fantasy points to a quarterback in 405 games. The only exception was Nick Foles, and he threw for 334 yards. This is a pathetic secondary and a great matchup. Why is Mayfield not even a top 15 quarterback? He's just outside.
For the same reason why we can't feel that confident in Jarvis Landry, because he isn't making every single throw. He's got moments of brilliance, and he's got moments where he turns the ball over and he looks like a rookie. Hate to say it, but it's true. And I would also expect the Bucs defense to be a little more energized this week after Mike Smith got shown the door.
Okay, hope so.
Especially up front. I think that front seven is going to make things pretty tough on Baker Mayfield.
So would you start any other Cleveland wide receiver, Callaway or Ratley?
Ratley, if you're absolutely desperate, but I do think he's a great dart throw in GPPs.
Oh, yeah.
Like
totally.
when you go on FanDuel and you play in our little FFT league, put Damian Ratley in your lineup.
That's a great idea. The Cleveland running backs. So we talked about it a little bit. It's hard to trust Duke Johnson, but maybe he's a dart throw, 46% owned.
It is a little bit easier in PPR based on what we discussed, how he's done with Baker.
Kamara had 112 yards and a touchdown. Corey Clement had 55 receiving yards. Connor had 5 for 34. Tariq Cohen had 121 yards and a touchdown. Tevin Coleman caught a touchdown last week against Tampa Bay. Carlos Hyde or Corey Clement?
I have Hyde higher.
Okay. That pretty much does it. We know that you like David Njoku. That does it for Cleveland. Jameis Winston... top five. That's all right. You got him third.
You don't like that.
I'm torn because I don't think they're going to run the ball that well ever.
I don't know. They did a better job of it last week
because the Falcons are horrendous.
Sure. And they're catching the Browns without one of their best.
That's
run
a good point. And the Browns are actually pretty bad against the run as well, but I don't have a ton of faith in Barber, and he only got 13 carries last week. So they're going to throw. I get that. Just look at this. I mean, Roethlisberger, 10 points against Cleveland. Breeze, 21 points. Darnold, 2. Carr had 39 points. It was in overtime. He threw 58 passes. Flacco, 11 points on 57 passes. Phillip Rivers had a very good game, but he only threw 21 passes. He scored 18 points. So, I mean, when you start Winston over Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, you have Winston one spot ahead of Ryan. Jamie and Heath have Ryan ahead.
You're buying into the matchup. It's really all that is to it. You're buying it, or not necessarily the matchup. You're not buying into them. I'm sorry I said that. You're buying into the talent. You're buying into Winston and what he has shown. You're buying into the receivers and the tight ends and what they've shown, and that's over the course of the year. And the matchup, based on what you said, it doesn't look good, just to make that clear. But they've taken on some injuries, Adam. They are not quite as talented of a defensive unit as they were even 2 weeks ago.
Okay. That's a good point. All right, start Winston. Peyton Barber, start or sit?
I like him.
Clement, Barber, Smallwood. How would you rank them?
Barber, Clement, Smallwood.
Oh, wow. So you really like Barber this week.
Sure. Again, this Browns defense is banged up.
Barber over Frank Gore?
Yes.
Barber or Marlon Mack?
I've got Barber over Mack. And I love him on DraftKings. His price is unbelievably cheap on DraftKings. It's like $3,800.
How about the Tampa Bay wide receivers?
You're going to start them. I'd rank them the same way I did last week, which is Evans, Godwin, Jackson.
Okay.
One of them will see a lot of Denzel Ward. My guess is that it's going to be Mike Evans when he's lined up outside. But the rest of that pass defense is not great.
And Godwin is still only 71% owned.
Yeah, at least it's in the 70s, though.
Would you start?
It should be higher, but it's better than where it was a few weeks ago.
Godwin or Peyton Barber?
I would go with Godwin.
O.J. Howard, 7th for Jamie, 8th for Dave, 11th for Heath. Pretty similar in PPR, 8th, 8th, and 12th. Howard. You pick them up, just use them. Do you like Njoku better than Howard?
I do.
Okay. Giants are at Atlanta. Do I play the music?
Two of your favorite teams.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would go with the Patriots-Bears if I knew that Robinson was playing, but I don't. So with that said, Giants are at the Falcons on Monday night. This is going to be it. This is going to be where I lose my third one of the year, and I have to let that guy into the podcast league because he's going to win the bet. Manning will be fine. He'll be a top 15 guy.
Fine.
Top 15. Barkley will be great. Beckham will go off. And then one of Shepard or Ingram will do well. And the Falcons are going to crush the Giants. Well, at least they're going to score a bunch of points. All right, you don't like Eli Manning, right?
I don't. I don't want to trust him. Can you take me behind the curtain a little bit here?
Sure.
Tell me the truth. Did you know that this was going to be the bonanza all along?
No, no, no. I'm still not even convinced that.
Well,
I mean,
it's too late.
I've committed,
now you...
but no, I have no conviction. No conviction.
Oh, great.
Atlanta has allowed 7 or more fantasy points in non-PPR to a wide receiver, to 15 wide receivers in 6 games. 15 in 6 games. 7's not great, but it's not bad. So, obviously,
it provides a nice safe floor.
Yeah, Beckham starts. What about Shepard?
I think he can hit that floor. I wouldn't count on him for a ton more than that.
So you don't like Manning. You have him 20th. Jamie has him 14th. Heath has Manning 11th. Obviously, we don't think Manning's
Heath is
good.
Bold on that call.
Yeah, look, because 5 straight quarterbacks have scored 27 or more points in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues against Atlanta. But they're Newton, Breeze, Dalton, Roethlisberger, and Winston. Manning was terrible against the Saints. You know, he was bad against the Eagles last week. He's been better on the road. It's not about his talent. It's about his matchup. But if you have him 20th, are you confident at all in Shepard or Ingram? Because, you know, you would think no if you have him that low, if you have Manning.
I've got Shepard pretty low. I don't know how I have him ranked compared to the other guys here. But Ingram, just by default, you're ranking as a top 12 tight end. Because I'm not going to start Nick O'Leary ahead of Evan Ingram or Cameron Brate ahead of Evan Ingram. Even I recognize the upside there.
Yeah. You're in the middle on Shepard. Jamie's okay. The lowest at 27. You're at 21. Heath's at 19. That's in PPR. In non-PPR.
Yeah, he's definitely safer in PPR. So is Odell.
Yeah, everybody's going to start Beckham. Everybody's going to start Julio. Can I get a bonanza reprieve if Sanu and Ridley don't play?
Nope. You played the music.
If Sanu and Ridley play, would you start them over Sterling Shepard?
Yes.
Would you start them over Tevin Coleman?
Yes.
And how do you feel about Tevin Coleman?
Not great. He's been pretty bad the last few weeks, even when he's been given an opportunity to be the main guy. I haven't heard a convincing argument for why he should be a top 15 fantasy running back in this game or pretty much in any game. And Ito Smith was a very popular pickup off waivers. A lot of people thought he should be the number one guy. It's because Tevin Coleman hasn't been good. But I'm going to let you in on a secret, Adam. The reason why Tevin hasn't been good, and really the reason why Ito hasn't been good either, is because that offensive line is not good blocking for the running backs in Atlanta. So it almost doesn't matter who's back there. Any run call that's not to the outside is going to be trouble for them.
Well, you have been down on Coleman, and you've been right because he hasn't played well. However, he does get you respectable fantasy games.
He would have given you 3 points last week if not for the
touchdown.
But he
does score. Catch. That's the thing. Like they score a lot of points and he gets goal line work and
so does Ito.
Yeah, I know. Ito scored a touchdown
in 3
straight games. I think Ito
scored a goal liner or not a goal liner, but he scored in 3 straight games. Last week it was a 14-yard touchdown. It's a good-looking run. But these guys have a lot of plays that go for 1 yard, 2
yards,
0 yards. So
would you start Frank Gore over them? Or Kenyon Drake?
I'm definitely going to go Coleman over Gore.
All right. How about like Sammy Watkins or Tevin Coleman?
I think Watkins has more upside.
Devin Funchess or Coleman?
I have Ito behind Gore. Funchess. Especially in PPR.
Okay. Chris Godwin or
Oh, you know what?
Coleman.
I do have Coleman higher in non-PPR.
All right. Chris Godwin or Coleman?
Godwin.
And Ito Smith is just like a Wendell Smallwood type flex?
Correct. I have Smallwood ahead of him, though.
Start Austin Hooper. Giants actually might be okay against tight ends.
It's what Atlanta's doing. They're using Hooper a lot more.
Yeah.
As a short area target. double-digit targets the last 2 weeks, 9 catches, at least 70 yards each of the last 2 weeks.
Now, I'm a little concerned the bubble burst, though, if Sanu and Ridley play.
But he got those numbers with Sanu and Ridley on the field.
No, not last
week. 2 weeks. Well, last week they got banged up and they left. But the week before?
The week before he did. But that was one game against the Steelers, who will give up the second most points to tight ends.
But he's done it in back-to-back games now.
I know. I understand. I'd start him. Just that's how I feel about so many tight ends. Like, yeah, I'd start them, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they're terrible. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's go to New England at Chicago. Stat of the game number one. The first open heart surgery was performed in Chicago. And
of course it was.
Twinkies were invented in Chicago.
Of course it was.
Those are not unrelated, by the way. That is from the culture, theculturetrip.com. Thank you, theculturetrip.com. Stat of the game number two. 5 wide receivers scored touchdowns against New England in 2 Patriots road games. And this is not the first time the Patriots have had a better home defense than road defense. That's not so atypical for them, in my opinion. Start Tom Brady and start Michelle, start James White. What about the Patriots wide receivers, Dave?
I actually feel better about Josh Gordon than I do Julian Edelman, because I think it's going to be harder for the Bears to contain Gordon and Gronk. And I think it'll be easier for them to deal with Edelman. Edelman will get volume. He'll get his catches in PPR. He'll do just fine. But in non-PPR, I would try and sit him down.
Not clear to me how good the Bears are against wide receivers. They give up the 5th most fantasy points. A lot of that was week one. Cobb, Adams, Allison, they went off. They gave up.
And then you saw what they did last week against
Albert
Wilson. So,
but that's not a typical player.
But you think back to Randall Cobb and what he did. Remember his touchdown in week one?
Yeah, but the Patriots don't have a guy like that.
Well, I mean, they could. Josh Gordon runs a bunch of in-breaking routes. And if the Bears have problems tackling wide receivers, especially guys who have some speed, which Gordon's got, that could lead to problems. Cordarrelle Patterson, Philip Dorsett, they've got some speed.
So who's your – yeah, but you're not starting them. Who's your favorite wide receiver in this game?
My favorite wide receiver in this game is, I believe it's Josh Gordon.
If Allen Robinson plays, it's still Gordon?
Yes.
What about Taylor Gabriel? Would you start Gabriel or Julian Edelman?
I'll go Gabriel over Edelman.
Is Edelman a sit?
Yeah, in non-PPR for sure. I'm double-checking in PPR to see where I've got Edelman in relation to Gabriel. And I do have Edelman ahead of Gabriel. Part of me is doing that just based on reputation.
Yeah, I understand. You have Edelman 22nd in PPR. And you have actually Josh Gordon 26th in PPR.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Gordon ahead of Edelman in non, but in PPR, Edelman ahead of Gordon.
I might change that. It's how I feel about how the Bears defense is going to play this game.
Start Gronk. Bears have allowed a touchdown to a tight end in 4 straight games. Mitchell Trubisky, 76% owned. Love him next week against the Jets. Do we like him this week against the Patriots?
Well, if you thought the Patriots defense was good at home last week, think again, because you saw what Tyreek Hill caught from Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes had a monster game, and Trubisky has at least 3 touchdowns each of his last 2 games, at least 300 yards each of his last 2 games. The Bears are finding really fun ways to use all the different elements in their offense, and they're going to need points against the Patriots. I think Trubisky won't get rattled. I don't think the pass rush is so dangerous for the Patriots that Trubisky is going to get hit a lot and, you know, have to move around a lot. He'll rush for a few yards on top of everything else. And their pass defense, I think it's going to be a little slow compared to what the Bears offer. He is currently 12th for me, and I'm not sure if I'm done moving him up.
Oh, wow. So would you consider moving
Trubisky? And I love him in daily. He's going to be very popular in daily, but I love him in daily.
Would you consider moving him ahead of Breeze?
I am thinking about moving him into the top 10.
Okay, and this was Dave's favorite streaming quarterback this week. You know, Heath liked Eli Manning. Jamie liked Baker Mayfield. Dave was on Mitchell Trubisky.
This is the one. This is the one.
Bears running backs.
He's part of the reason why Jordan Howard is being phased out. Well, look, Tariq Cohen is really the reason why, but Tariq Cohen is catching these passes from Trubisky. You think about Cohen. You think about Gabriel, these fast playmakers that Matt Nagy is leaning on. Trey Burton is used in a variety of ways. Allen Robinson, if he plays, that's a nice outside possession receiver type dude who can score a touchdown. There are lots of options all over this offense for Trubisky.
So what about Howard and Cohen?
I like Cohen better. Doesn't matter the league format. I like him better.
All right. who are you starting Cohen over?
Well, Jordan Howard, for one.
Yeah.
Let's go with him over other obvious names like LeSean McCoy, the Falcons guys, the Eagles guys. I've got him ahead of Adrian Peterson. Got him ahead of Matt Breida.
Is this
got him ahead of TJ Yeldon.
This
is
non.
It's both. It's both.
Okay.
I am very, very bullish on Tariq Cohen this week because I don't think the Patriots have an answer for his speed.
Would you?
And
start...
I don't think the Bears are suddenly going to revert back to giving 2/3 of the plays to Jordan Howard.
Would you start Tevin Coleman or Jordan Howard?
I have Coleman over Howard, and you know how I feel about Tevin Coleman.
Right. All right, so if the Bears, if Robinson, if he plays, people are going to start him. Taylor Gabriel's a good flyer this week at 54% owned.
I don't think you have to start Allen Robinson, though.
Okay.
I would start Gabriel in non-PPR and PPR.
Over Howard. Over Robinson.
Over Howard and Robinson.
Trey Burton, starter sit.
He's one of those start-by-default tight ends. This is probably the one Chicago... Well, the second, Jordan Howard's the first. The second Chicago Bears player that I'm not thrilled with, because you just saw the Patriots do a nice job of taking Travis Kelce away. And this is the same type of offense. Burton's in the same type of role.
Bears DST, 22nd for Jamie, 14th for Dave, 13th for Heath. You should probably try to get away from the Bears, but you're going to want to keep them if you can. Patriots
cut them on
might
Saturday
be,
if you have to.
Yeah, might be without their starting right tackle, though, the Patriots. Rams, two more games. This one's easy. Rams at 49ers. Stat of the game. The Rams have allowed double-digit fantasy points in non-PPR to 7 wide receivers in their last 3 games. Thielen, Aldrick Robinson, Diggs, Lockett, David Moore, Sanders, and Thomas. I think people might be jumping back onto Marquise Goodwin a little bit too quickly.
I agree.
5 targets last week, something like that. He had 4 catches.
5 targets.
So, huge game at Green Bay, but this is a great matchup for him. Would you start Marquise Goodwin?
I've got him as a flex, and it's because I don't want to buy back in based on 2 huge plays. I remember the track record that he had with C.J. Beathard last year, and I remember how he played before this game. And I don't know if he's capable of putting up, let's call it 70 yards and a touchdown on a weekly basis. I don't think he's in that echelon of wide receiver.
Sure. So
I don't think it's even close.
So would you start Taylor Gabriel over?
Yes.
Over Goodwin? Yeah.
Yes.
And would you start Josh Reynolds over Goodwin?
No.
Okay.
Really? Was that a real question?
Well, the Rams are easy. Start Goff, start Gurley, start Cook, start Woods.
And can I tell you some receivers I'll start Goodwin ahead of?
Yeah.
Non-PPR. Allen Robinson, Julian Edelman.
Let's do PPR so I don't have to hear all the complaints from the PPR people.
You want some PPR guys?
Yeah. Goodwin over whom?
Chester Rogers, Kiki QT, Keelan Cole, Will Fuller,
okay.
Cole Beasley.
Works for me. Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, what do you do with them?
You're going to start Breida. He's certainly the more experienced, potent of the two. He gets a little bit more work than Mostert. Mostert is a bye week guy. Third running back type. And he was not bad last week. And I think he'll have some opportunities again this week.
Yeah, Breida or Tariq Cohen?
Cohen.
Breida or Corey Clement?
Breida.
Okay. And the Rams allow 4.7 yards per carry to running backs. Going to start George Kittle as well. Last question here. If you need a streaming quarterback and you can't get Trubisky, would you go with Eli Manning, Baker Mayfield, or C.J. Beathard?
I've got Baker at the top of that list with CJ right behind him.
Last game is Dallas at Washington. Stat of the game. Dallas has scored a combined 37 points in 3 road games. That's kind of why I like the Redskins DST as a solid, unspectacular, but not going to kill you DST. Are you starting any Cowboy other than Zeke?
Yes. With confidence.
No, liar.
Brett. Mayer. Kicker.
Yeah.
He's been awesome the last 3 weeks. He's been really great.
Good call. Alex Smith is 21st.
He's still out there in like 75% of leagues, too.
Don't start Alex Smith. Redskins running backs we already talked about, but we'll do it again. Peterson, you like, right?
Yeah, I do. I think he'll get the workload. I know Sean Lee's coming back, and that the Dallas defense is going to be tough and all that, whatever. I still think Adrian Peterson gets you the numbers that would constitute a number two fantasy running back.
Yeah, and they are tough, though. I mean, even without Lee, they allow 3.3 yards per carry to running backs, fifth fewest fantasy points to running backs overall. That's sure. games with and without Sean Lee.
Mm-hmm. But it's so volume it's tough, in AP's favor, and I don't think the Cowboys are going to come into this one and build a big lead like they did last week against Jacksonville.
Are you going to start Chris Thompson or Tariq Cohen in PPR?
Oh, Cohen.
Well, I mean, Thompson has six or more catches.
Are they going to be playing from behind for two quarters?
But who are they going to throw to? They have to throw the ball at some point.
They've got like three tight ends that they could use.
And Chris Thompson, who, by the way, has been better than the tight ends.
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, maybe that's just because you like Tariq Cohen so much. Would you start Chris Thompson or Dalvin Cook?
Well, I don't know if Dalvin's going to play.
The starting running back for the Vikings.
I will take Latavius Murray if Cook is out, well ahead of Chris Thompson. I would go
even in PPR.
I think I would go with Kerryon, AP, Shady, Breida, TJ Yeldon, well ahead of Chris Thompson.
Okay.
Where I get into some conundrums is like the Eagles running backs, the Falcons running backs. And I think I'd probably take the better of those running backs, Coleman and Clement, I'd probably take them ahead of Chris Thompson this week.
And Jordan Reed is the last guy. Like him, love him this week?
I don't like him. I've got a stat of the game for you.
Go ahead.
Against the Cowboys, Reed has been held to 70 yards or less without a touchdown in 7 of 8 career meetings.
That's not good.
No, that's not good. And there's two things I don't like about Jordan Reed based on what I saw in film. Number one, I don't think he's quite as explosive as he used to be. And number two, Alex Smith is missing him. There were plays last week where Smith threw a, you know, couple of feet in front of him, a couple of feet wide of him. They don't have that connection working.
And he's
they
a gator.
They're not rhythm.
Three things we hate about him.
I don't mind that he's a gator. I don't care.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday to Jamie.
That's why he's not here. He is celebrating his 48th birthday. 48th? Jamie Eisenberg.
All right, we got a mailbag for you coming up later today. You'll hear it tomorrow. We'll give you the latest injury news. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Na 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 na.